Welcome. Good morning. We are so glad that you're with us, whether you're here in the room or you're joining us online. It is a really special weekend around here where we are going to look back a little bit at the beginning kind of our time and celebrate what God has done because of Revision, this campaign to significantly improve a whole bunch around our campus. You may not even know that that was a thing if you just recently started attending Eastern Hills, either online or here in the room. And so hopefully it'll be a really cool, special weekend for you. It's also really cool for me to hear Paul talk a little bit about that. Paul was somebody when this started 3 years ago, great guy, him and B, really special couple. We're so thankful for them. And to say that he was skeptical is a little bit of an understatement. And so I got an email from Paul a couple weeks into when we had to do everything online. And it was just one of those notes that I'll save forever. And just so thankful and appreciative for the way that we had listened to God and felt like it was God really preparing us before we even knew we would need it. We'll get into that in just a little bit. I also want to make sure you guys all know today is my birthday. So thank you so much. I would love for you to get me a present. We've made it very easy for you to do that. And so actually the way that you can give me a present is to help us feed a bunch of people. Mountains of Mercy is something we do every year, and we know that the need will be great this year. And so it's going to look a little bit different. We'll walk you through it again later on in the service. But if you go to that link we've talked about so far this weekend, ehills.org/weekend, or if you're in the room, you can scan the code on the seat in front of you. But we'd love for you to be able to give if you feel comfortable helping that way. You can do $60 gifts of family. A really great Thanksgiving meal with your help. And then there's also going to be ways for you on your way out to help if you'd rather do it that way and you're here with us on our campus. So just want to give you that heads up as well. Before we get started, I'm going to pray for us. Oh, you know what? I forgot. Actually, last night I mentioned this thing about my birthday and Mountains of Mercy and all that stuff. And a student came up to me today with a note and a bag. And the note just said, hey, I just, you know, have been saving some money, not sure what I was going to do with it, thinking maybe I'd just like use it to go shopping. And I didn't know it at the time, but when you were talking last night, I felt like I found out what was important that I needed to do with that money. And so the student took this money that they were saving and gave it so that we can help feed people this Thanksgiving. And I thought, when Jesus says, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is also, I think he was talking about that. And so what a cool thing. And it just, you know, brought tears to my eyes on a Sunday morning. Really, really special. So I'm going to pray for us. If you've never been here before, never checked this out online, I pray kneeling. And I've just found that in a time in a world that feels overwhelming and big, that we have a God who's bigger and he's worth us humbling ourselves before and thanking him. Would you pray with me? God, we really do thank you that you are so much bigger than the biggest problems in our life and the biggest problems in our world. We're gonna learn a little bit more about that today. Thanks that you prepare us and you use our lives even in ways and on days that we don't see it coming. Would you do that today? Would you help us grow in a way, God, that helps us navigate the week in front of us? Would you help us, God, by just drawing us closer to you? We love you. It's in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so maybe this question won't make a ton of sense to you yet, especially if you're newer, but especially if you've been around for a little while. Wherever you're watching, Facebook, YouTube, church online, here in the room through the app, answer this question for me. What improvement from Revision has helped you most? So we'll talk about what some of those are. If you're watching online and you don't know which one to put, let me give you a free one you can put in. We couldn't stream 3 years ago, so that's pretty helpful for you right now. Now, if you don't know what Revision is, 3 years ago, we'd been in this building for about 10 years, and we had made really incredible investments and some really thoughtful things that we had to do when we moved into it. But 10 years in, a lot of our technical systems were beginning to fail. And so we needed to make a whole bunch of changes in all of our large group environments. And so we spent millions of dollars to be able to change. Like in this room alone, there is literally, other than, I think Kendall said, the chairs and the walls, nothing else is the same from 3 years ago. Every light, every screen, every computer, there's an entire control room that makes this room work and makes us be able to send it to the internet. And when COVID stuff was starting, we were interviewed on the news, like for good reasons, not for bad ones. We were interviewed on the news and they did a little tour with us, and they looked at our control room and they were like, this control room is better than our news station's control room, which was just a funny, you know, funny observation. And so that was here, but it's not just in this room and the ability for us to send to the internet. It was also in our student space, which has just made massive steps forward. Our space for our preteens, our elementary kids, every large group space has found improvements over the last 3 years. And I'm gonna give you an applause moment if you've been around Eastern Hills for a little while. We said 3 years ago, we would not make any of these changes. We would not do any of these improvements in a way that added debt. And so over the course of the last 3 years, we've done all of these things, and at no point have we added any additional debt. Can we thank God for that? Now, if you've been around for a little while, this isn't like, you kind of know how different things are, but if you haven't been around, I wanted to show you just a quick glimpse of what things were like, not 10 years ago, but 3 years ago. And so I'm gonna show you a video. Joel was our worship pastor, he's a great guy, one of the best worship leaders I've ever seen in my life. This is not a video saying he's not good. This is a video showing you just the quality that we had of video and sound and lighting to see if you can tell any differences between then and now. Take a look at this.
Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. The shame was the ransom.
All right, so great worship leader, great teams, so thankful, but we had one camera that could give us one shot just like that. It lived in this room. We couldn't send it to the internet. Let's look at a couple weeks ago, see if you can tell any differences. Pretty good, right? We can thank God for that. Could you tell any differences? Could you just see any? You know, it's amazing because here's the thing, like, yeah, it's made what the experience is on our campus way better, which we're so thankful for, so thankful for so many of you who invested. But the thing is, if somebody had told us that COVID was coming 3 years ago, like if we knew it, you know what we would have done? What we did. Isn't that crazy? That even though we didn't know what was coming, God did. And here's the thing, you trusted the direction we felt like God was calling us to go, even though we didn't know the destination that we would arrive at 3 years later. And that's what vision is. Vision is trusting the place that God moves our hearts together, even when we don't necessarily know what the direction of it's gonna look like. Jesus' half-brother James says that, hey, we should plan our way. We should absolutely plan our way, but we should not assume the outcome. We should say, you know what? If the Lord wills it, if the Lord decides it, then we'll go here. We'll do this, we'll do that. How do we submit our plans to God? And I think over the last 3 years, Eastern Hills, you have done an incredible job of doing that, that you trust God with the direction, even when you don't know the destination. Because here's the thing. 3 years ago, this was like our dream, right? 3 years ago, our dream was, wouldn't it be great if your neighbor, if your coworker, if the person down the street from you, if your friend, if your classmate, wouldn't it be awesome if you, when you were out of town, could tune in and check out what was happening here on a weekend and maybe kind of try it out before they ever had to come onto our campus physically? Wouldn't that be great? That'd be amazing. And while those were our plans, God's plans were so much bigger than that. And in the midst of a year where for much of the year we couldn't meet physically, in the midst of the year where even now we have massively reduced capacity for our physical gatherings, I'm not gonna think about this in terms of the last 3 years. Let me just talk about this year with you for a minute. This year, we have had tens of thousands of people join us online from every state in the country and from 17 different countries. Can we thank God for that? See, we had a dream, we had a hope that God would do this, and he was like, no, like, I have a way bigger dream for you. And so I just wanna say a huge thank you to you, to all of you who invested and made this possible. In a year where for many churches, they have reached fewer people than they ever have before, Eastern Hills, we have reached more people with the hope and message of Jesus than any other year in our existence. And it's because you were willing to invest in what God was calling us to be about as a community. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I also want to take just a minute, because for some of you that have been a part of this conversation, you know there's a third phase of revision, and that phase was the parking lot. Now, thankfully, we do not currently have a huge need for parking lot expansion. But a third part of this campaign was the parking lot. And while our general giving was unbelievably, supernaturally stable over the course of this year, our revision giving really took a hit. And so because of that, we were not going to take any steps or opportunities that put us in a position where we were gonna have to take on additional debt because of revision. And so we do have savings from after we did all of our audio, video, lighting stuff that's going towards parking that we're just gonna hang on to, continue to be diligent, look for opportunities, and prayerfully plan about what the parking lot looks like when we have that need. We've found strategic opportunities to get the parking lot ready for that expansion, to do super crazy stuff that's way smarter than me about putting things into the retaining wall, and we're dealing with drainage, and I don't know. Let's be honest, that's not really my world. But we're doing some good stuff to get us ready for that. We haven't forgotten about it, but that's why we're doing what we're doing right now. But whether it's revision or your own life, whether it's 2020 or 2021, here's what I hope we'll all walk away from our time celebrating and remembering this over the course of our morning together, that God's future is worth waiting for. God's future is worth waiting for. And I know that for some of you, you instantly think about the opportunity that you feel like you didn't get this year, the vacation you didn't get to go on. Maybe for you, you think about the relationship that fizzled out this year. Maybe for you, it's way more tragic, and there's somebody in your life that you have lost over the course of this year, COVID or not, and what it's looked like to grieve and what it's looked like to be with them in their hours of suffering and need has looked way different. There's this giant spectrum of pain and difficulty. And I'm not just talking about how do we get to the other side of that. I'm talking about the someday, one day, that is God's future for followers of him that is better than your best day here. And so we're gonna talk about that for just a few minutes together. And it begins with this idea that Paul is gonna talk to us about a free future that's waiting for us. That if you're a follower of Jesus, there is a future waiting for you where all the pain, all the difficulty, and all the debt of our sin and brokenness is gone. Whether you're here in the room and you answered in the app, or you're online watching somewhere else, I'd love for you to answer this question. What is the biggest debt you've ever paid off? What is the biggest debt you've ever paid off? I remember the first time we paid off a car, and I don't know why I thought this way, but the first time I got into the car after we paid it off, I was like, oh man, we own this now. I need to like take really good care of it. I don't know why I didn't think that beforehand. I don't know, it's just my head. Maybe for you, it was a mortgage, or maybe for you, it's a credit card or a student loan. What's the biggest debt you've ever paid off? Romans 8 is a book or a chapter within a book that we're gonna look at together that really talks about some pretty incredible debt that was paid off for you and me. As a matter of fact, some describe Romans 8 as the greatest chapter in the entire Bible. And the reason for it is because Paul, who is this incredible leader in the first century, is gonna talk with such specificity about the pain that he's experiencing and about the future that we have in common. He's gonna talk about that with such specificity. It's gonna feel like he wrote it yesterday. He says it this way. He says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory the children of God. Now, Paul is not talking about tomorrow. He's not talking about next week. Paul is talking about the one day, someday picture of heaven, and then ultimately the restoration of all things, as we're going to talk about in just a minute. But Paul talks about this idea at the very beginning. He says, here's the thing. I don't even think it's worth comparing the sufferings that I've gone through and that I'm going through with the glory that's waiting on the other side. And if you're somebody that maybe church is a new concept for you, or you haven't really heard about Paul before, this could feel pretty easy to dismiss. You're like, he doesn't really know what I've gone through. You know, maybe in his life, things have gone easy and his sufferings aren't a big deal, but mine are a big deal. And I've got some things to talk to God about. But for Paul, he had experienced some really big challenges in his life. He's living with the regret of the fact that early on in the church, what he was doing was he was actually persecuting the church. And then ultimately he would become a follower of Jesus and become persecuted within the church. He would face multiple shipwrecks and beatings and imprisonments. At times it looked like his life was going to end for the faith that he was following. And he wasn't saying that those sufferings didn't matter. That's not what Paul was saying. He was saying that the other side of this life, that the eternity that's waiting for me is so good, is so much better, that no matter what I'm dealing with today, they're not even worth comparing with one another. And so, you know, for you and me, we have to be willing to recognize, is the glory of God for eternity what we really look forward to? Is the fact that God's glory radiating and putting everything back in order, actually putting everything back better than it's ever been before, is that what you're really living for? Or are you just living for the comforts of your life here on earth to be made a little bit better? Because if that's the case, you're aiming too low. And if that's the case, here's what happens. You view suffering as something to be avoided rather than something that's inevitable that God will use in your life. Because suffering, if we're followers of Jesus, is a necessary part of our growth, and it is a necessary part of us experiencing a greater and greater extent of God's glory through our life. That everybody in your life will get a chance to see how you suffer. And it's not just for you growing through it, which definitely is part of what God wants. It's about other people who are not following God, watching you grow through it. And what Paul does is he starts with you and me, and he starts with this idea of suffering in the space of what's coming. And then he widens it to creation. And he describes this idea that creation is waiting in a longing way for the ultimate glory that's coming. They're waiting just like we are. All of the universe is waiting just like we are. And you know, the thing is, everything that our universe is experiencing right now is the consequence of the futility of trying to do life without God, of trying to see sin continue to pervade and brokenness and mistakes everywhere. It's happening all around us. But what Paul is showing us is that there's this sense that the restoration of all things, including creation, will set us all free. That all these debts, all these bondages, all this weight that holds us down, that it will be set free, and that the world around us will be put back to the place and to the way that it's always been designed to be. And I know that for some of us, we think, well, maybe that's like Genesis 1, Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Is that what God's gonna put it back to? And the great news is that it's actually better than that. See, the Garden of Eden, well, it was amazing and it was without sin. It was still dependent on Adam and Eve's obedience. And so the moment that they disobeyed and sin entered the world, if God had just hit reset on that, we'll do the same thing. But the future restoration of all things for the glory of God that we're talking about in Romans 8 is a future that is not dependent on your and my obedience. It's dependent on Jesus' obedience. It's dependent on the perfection of God for you and me. There's no way that we can screw it up. So the amazing thing about this restoration is that it's once and for all, it's permanent. And the reason that God allows the pain and allows this world to continue to struggle is so that more people have time to turn to Him. And it's the reason that you and I can believe that God's future is worth waiting for. It's the reason that you and I can take a step back and go, you know what? I really believe this, God. I think you can do something with this. And I know that for many of us, we look around and it's not very difficult to see problems, right? Division, disease, disaster. We find ourselves weeks away from a presidential election. And I don't know about you, but I'd have some people in my life that have some feelings, thoughts, and opinions about that. We're looking around right now against an invisible enemy that we're all trying to be safe and smart and wear masks and bathe in hand sanitizer and do all the things we're supposed to do, you know? And it's really making, it's making our life really difficult, and it's hurting a lot of people, and it's taking people's lives. And we don't have to look very far in Colorado to see the impact of disasters all around us. But can your hope carry your hurt? I think it can. I think that we can hurt with hope, because your and my hope is big enough and strong enough. It sits not just in tomorrow being better than today or next week being better than this week. Our hope sits in eternity. It's not about a different person in the White House or the same person continuing. It's not about better legislation. It's about a new kingdom that goes forever. And that's why we say that God's future is worth the wait. Because there is something in your and my life that is painful and difficult today. And God wants to use that in your life to prepare you for what's coming. Can you believe him for it? The next thing that we're gonna look at from Paul in this passage is that you and I are a part of what's called a spiritual down payment. A spiritual down payment. That what God is going to deliver one day, he is giving us hints to, he's giving us a look at even now for what's waiting. But before we get there, wherever you're watching, would you answer this question for me in the chat? What are you most looking forward to in heaven? What are you most looking forward to in heaven? See, for some of us, there are things this year that have been so acute and difficult and painful that you just want to see them stop. You want to see disease go away. You want to see death go away. You want to see tears wiped from every face. And for some of us, there are things we want to see get started and get to go on forever. And the pain and torment and difficulty that we experience in this life, even on the best of days, will all be gone fully, finally, and forever. That's what Paul's talking about. That's the future that we hope for. He goes on to talk about it in these verses. He says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. See, for Paul, he started with us and then he went to creation. Now he's starting with creation and going back to us. And he says, look, for creation all around us, there are these pains that we see creation going through. He describes them as birth pains. And remember, Paul is writing about this 2,000 years ago. And he's saying, I know that the world around you feels like it's in pain. I know that the world around you feels like it's groaning and hurting, but it's not dying. It's giving birth to something better. And we can wait for it. It's actually looking at you and me, and it's seeing the way that God is using humanity and is going, oh, phew, there is something better coming. And I don't know if you've ever been in the room with somebody who's having a baby. I've done it a few times now. I've never had a baby, and I'm very thankful for that. It seems very difficult. But I've been in the room, and having a baby seems like it's very painful from what I've seen, you know, and loud noises. And then I've also been in the hospital when folks are dying. And sometimes the noises are pretty similar. And I think for us this year, I think for us in this moment, if we're not careful, what we hear happening around us, what we see happening in the streets, it can feel like things are dying. But what Paul would tell us is that the future that God has, the eternity that he's creating, what we hear and what we see, even at the greatest points of pain, it's actually something new that's going to get born out of it. If we can have hope, if we can believe for the ultimate restoration of all things, that's what Paul's talking about. See, you and me, we are actually a part of the first fruits. This principle that there's a piece of what's coming and the Spirit of God lives inside of you and me. And the Spirit of God living inside of you and me. Right now, we're experiencing it in part. And on the very best days, those moments that it just feels like God is showing up in your life and he's made a difference and he's poured peace where there shouldn't be and he's poured hope on days that feel hopeless and he's provided opportunities that you never saw coming. On the best days, they are a speck of what all of eternity will be. And so we hope for that future. for that redemption, for that restoration. And the reason that we invest in all this, the reason that we have tools, not toys, that we go to work with, is because this hope, this message, is not something that's just for you and me. It's for the whole world. But here's what I want to make sure you hear me say. Let's not spiritualize our pain away. What we're going through this year is very difficult. That I would argue for everyone in the room, for everybody watching online, we have all experienced pain because of this year. Now, the pain may be different, it may be on a different scale, but there's probably never been a time in my life where we're kind of in this together. There's a whole bunch of things that we're all facing, and we're all facing them together, and they're really difficult. It's really hard. It really hurts. You should talk to people about it. You should bring it to God. You should not pretend that because heaven's coming, what you're experiencing now is no big deal. That's just not honest. But if you bring it to God, if you involve safe people in your life with it, man, I think God can do something powerful because of it. Now, here's the thing. There is this way that people take passages like this and they distort what it means to follow God. Here's what I mean. They take like what Paul is talking about the future, and what they say is that's what God wants for you today. And if you just have enough faith, he will make you healthy and wealthy and you're good to go. And if you're not healthy or you're not wealthy, it's actually because you just don't have enough faith. But that ignores this really core idea of what Paul is talking about. It's referred to theologically as the already not yet aspect of your salvation. So there's an already to our salvation. If you're a follower of Jesus, that your legal standing with God, you are made righteous in the legal standing of God before all of eternity the moment you decide to follow Jesus. It's called justification. But then there's also this aspect of our faith that's the not yet aspect. And we live in a broken world. We live with sin all around us, and we live with sin and brokenness within us. And so much of the scriptures that talk to us about this ultimate freedom, about this ultimate picture, not just the fruit, first fruits, but the ultimate fruits of our salvation is a not yet aspect of our faith. Can you live in light of that? Because if you can, then God's future is worth the wait. If you can, then all of a sudden what you're going through today, it may be difficult, it may feel heavy, but it's not ultimate, because you know the ultimate restoration of all things, including your own body, is what God ultimately has in mind for us. And if we have that perspective, then God grows in us patient hope. That's what Paul finishes with in this passage, patient hope. That there is something God wants to grow in you and me that is not quick, it's not microwaved, it's not temporary. There is a hope that is weighty, that can make a real difference in your life. Paul describes it this way. He says, "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have all for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." This is not just about the opportunity at work. This is not just for that romantic relationship or marriage to get a little bit better. This is not just about your financial reality to seem a little bit better soon. Look, we can pray for all those things. We can want all those things. But what Paul is talking about is that the hope that should anchor our soul is the hope that we can have for all of eternity. It's the kind of hope that when God puts things back the way that they were always designed to be, that there is that kind of hope. Because no matter what we hope in, if we hope in what we can see, it's not really hope. But if we can have hope in the future that we can't see yet, if we can have hope in eternity, if that's where our hope grows, then the longer we wait and the more patient we endure the difficulty and suffering of this broken world, the more our hope grows. And so I know that it's difficult, right? I know that everything we see in the world right now feels like basically the opposite of what Paul just talked about. He described hope and we're like, yes, sounds good, amazing. Eternity is waiting, creation is groaning, and so is our own soul. We can feel this. Even if you're not a follower of Jesus, you just feel that the world's not the way that it was supposed to be. But have you ever wondered where that picture of what's supposed to be came from in the core of your soul and mind? God has placed in us this picture of the not yet. And when you and I can believe for that, a future we haven't seen yet, well, if we can understand that it's not primarily about right now, then we can wait with greater patience because we know what we're waiting for and we know what we're not expecting. that if tomorrow things don't get instantly better, if November things don't get instantly better, if 2021 isn't the picture that you hope that it's gonna be, look, your hope is not all pinned in that. You can understand that even when it's a difficult year, even when it's a hard month, even when it's a difficult day, that God's eternity for you is still secure and he can actually be with you through it. And here's what I hope you don't take away from this. You know what? I should probably just hide then. You know, I've got enough water bottles and enough toilet paper to get me at least through 2021. I'm just gonna kind of head home for a while. Because it can be that way, right? We can become so heavenly minded that in the earthly circumstances of our life, we just check out. That's not what Paul is advocating. We still care for our community. We still care for the people in our lives. We still care for the world around us. That's actually why we're still here. It's not so that we just wait the clock out. It's so that people in our life who are close to us physically, but far from the relationship that God died to provide for them, that they could find and follow Jesus too. That's why you're still here, because you have a mission. And don't just look to take hits. Don't hide. Don't just look to take hits, especially on social media where you just think, if they just knew my point, it won't matter. How do you care for people, even people that disagree with you? Because here's the thing. Our world is addicted to something. And you've heard me say this before, the opposite of faith is not doubt. God can handle your doubts. As a matter of fact, I would say if you bring your doubts to God and you bring your doubts to safe people who are following God with you, he can turn your doubt into determination that grows your faith. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. And our world is addicted to fear right now. And the kind of hope that Paul is talking about is an antidote for our world. And so how can you, in a world of addicts of fear, deliver hope? And look, we have lots of resources. We are so thankful for the technology that allows us to extend this message all around the world. We are so thankful for that. But in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, at your school, on that team, God has placed you there to have an influence, to have relationship, to have conversation. And if all we do is this, but you never do that, we're missing the point. Speaking of missing the point, I remember growing up, I attended a church when I was young, small church, and we were portable while we were building a building. And what that means is every week there was a group of volunteers where we would show up and we would set it all up and we would take it all down every single week. And it's a bunch of work. And early on when we were looking at building a building, the reason that we were building a building was because we wanted to see Jesus make a difference in our community in the new and better way. We wanted to see marriages saved. We wanted to see families rescued. We wanted to see people who were hopeless find hope. We wanted to be a part of this movement of 2,000 years where over and over and over again, when it was at its best, you saw followers of Jesus change the world for the better. That's what we wanted. That's why we wanted a building. But as the months turned into years and we were waiting for that building to finish, you started to hear people talk about, you know what, I can't wait till we get into that building and we don't have to do this anymore. I can't wait until we get into that building and all of a sudden we can do this. And the building went from something that served the mission to becoming the mission itself. And here we are at the end of 3 years celebrating a whole bunch of improvements, so thankful. But don't forget, even with the improvements, what the mission is. That all of us, if you're a follower of Jesus, get a chance to invite everyone to experience that Jesus makes life better. And so with that in mind, with the mission of God on your heart, where is God growing your patience right now? Where is God growing your patience right now? Not just the suffering you're enduring, not just the thing you have to push through, but the area that you're saying, God, this is difficult. I don't know how to get to the other side, but whatever it looks like, I want to do that with you. What is the answer to that question for you? Because here's the thing, when my mission becomes my comfort, especially my comfort wrapped in my safety, when that becomes the mission of my life, I will never submit to the areas where patience grows. I will never submit to God with pain, heartache, disappointment, and disease. I will look for ways to get around it, maybe ways to get through it, but on my own. And it doesn't have to be that way. Next week, we're gonna talk about where we believe God's calling us to go and some cool, exciting initiatives that we're starting up right now, even in the midst of all of this. You can find those with that QR code or if you're in the room or at ehills.org/weekend if you're watching online. Things like the Care Portal, which is a digital resource to connect with the needs of our city and practically meet those needs really, really quickly. Trained Up as a platform to help you grow deeper in your leadership, where maybe you've been looking to grow deeper, not only in how you serve at Eastern Hills, but just as a leader in life and providing resources and classes online for you to be able to do that. And then a Parent Resource Center as we continue to partner with families so that you can look at, here are all the ages and stages of your kids, and you can click on the one that is your kid or a specific child in your home. And there are curated resources that could be helpful for you or things that we've developed for you. You know, helpful topics that might be relevant, like how do you talk to your elementary schooler about the election? Stuff like that. You can find all that there. And we're so excited to share some of that with you and where we believe God's calling us from here. Now, before we sing together, I want to do just a short little song with you. And it was something that I remember a gentleman in a church, that church that I grew up, his name was Bud. And Bud suffered from a terminal illness near the end of his life. And I watched him as just this really tough guy, really strong, you know, every definition you would think of in that category. But he always worshiped really well. He was just into it. And then near the end of his life, I watched him actually have even greater intensity in the way that he worshiped. And I think to a certain extent, it was this idea that he knew where he was going. God was building this patient hope in him that he could trust that God was faithful. And so this is an older song. You may not know it, but you'll catch on quick. And if you do, just sing it loud with me. I remember these words on a weekend of a dying man who placed his hope in something that was different and better than even his best days here. It went like this. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God, your people have been singing about your faithfulness for thousands of years, through diseases, through pain, through disappointments, through nations rising and falling. There is nothing coming this week that you don't see coming. We can trust you. And not just with this week, not just with this life, but with our eternity. God, would you reshape our understanding of the call and the mission that we're on? Reinvigorate us, God, for this bigger call, this upward call on our life and our eternity. Help us to see your goodness, even when it doesn't show up in our life the way we thought. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and sing with us?
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us at Easter.